Daniel chapter 12. Now, before we go into 12, let me finish up because chapter 11 was so long. Chapter 11 was like, 45 verses? And we skimmed over a lot of it because a lot of it was has already taken place. It was prophetical for Daniel when Daniel was writing all that stuff that we were referring to, Alexander the Great splitting up into four different kingdoms and all of that. That's past stuff for us. It was future stuff for Daniel, okay? So a lot of that stuff we just skimmed over because it's history that you all know about. Look at verse number 40 of chapter 11. And let me give you just a few things here before we move on into chapter 12. Chapter 12 only has like 13 verses. So hopefully we can finish that up tonight. Look at verse 40 of chapter 11. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south is Egypt, push at him. And the king of the north, that's Syria, shall come against him being the Antichrist, like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. Now watch verse 41. He shall enter also into the glorious land. All right, the Antichrist is going to enter into the glorious land. That's the nation of Israel. And many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom, Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. Now, you'll say, well, there's these different people that are escaping from the hand of the Antichrist, okay? In Matthew 24, I don't know if we'll go over there and read that, but in Matthew chapter 24, about verse number 15, this is what it says. When the Antichrist comes in, remember, the first 3.5 years, peace and safety, peace. We love everybody. You know, let's all get together, let's hug everybody and all that kind of stuff. And then after that first 3.5 years, in the middle, he's going to break the peace treaty with the nation of Israel. He's going to make a lot of these countries mad at first. And he's going to go into that temple. It's going to take him a little while to rebuild that temple over there in Jerusalem. It's going to take him a little while. And when they do, Antichrist, middle ways, is going to break the peace treaty. He's going to go into that temple, sit down, and claim himself to be God. Matthew 24, verse 15 says, when you see the abomination of desolation, that's what he's talking about, take place in the holy place, flee to the mountains. If you're on the housetop working, don't even come to, flee to the mountain. So in Matthew 24, Jesus says, when you see that happen, talking to the nation of Israel, y'all better scatter. And so Daniel, some of these countries, what it says in verse 41, he shall enter also in the glorious land, Israel, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape. So there's going to be some nation of Israel, some Jews are going to escape out of his hand. They're going to go into Edom. They're going to go into Moab. They're going to go into the children of Ammon and hide out and all of that kind of thing for this last 3.5 years. That's what he's talking about there at the end of chapter number 11. It looks like in this, sometime in the tribulation, the king of the north, Syria, and the king of the south, Egypt, has some conflict with the Antichrist. So a lot of times when we turn it on of our news and all that kind of thing, you see a lot of activity from Egypt, especially Syria. Here's what you look for. Everybody's talking about peace treaties and all that kind of thing. I know we've seen that. And every time you see it, don't think, oh my goodness, we're in the middle of the tribulation. But this is what will happen. You'll have the Antichrist. He's going to sit down at a table with the Palestinians. He's going to sit down with the Arabs. He's going to sit down with all of the nation of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, whoever. They're all going to sit down at this table and come to an agreement of who's going to rule the Temple Mount and all that kind of thing. That's going to happen. They're already having conflict over that. So That's the finishing part of Daniel chapter 11. Now let's move to chapter 12, and it's a continuation. Chapter 10, chapter 11, chapter 12 is a continual storyline. Look at verse 1 of chapter 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth up for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to their same time. And at that time thy people, Israel, shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Okay, a lot of information in one verse. Michael the archangel, remember, in chapter number 10, if you were to look back at chapter 10, about verse number 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia, this is not a earthly prince. This is a heavenly prince. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, and lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. It appears that Michael the archangel, you say, who is Michael the archangel? He is, appears to be, probably, now that Lucifer fell and left heaven, it appears that Michael is the next in line, next under, you have God, and then he has Michael the archangel. It used to be Lucifer. Lucifer used to be the anointed cherub that covereth. He fell, took a third of the angels with him. Michael the archangel appears to be the angelic host that watches over the nation of Israel. If you were to look at Revelation chapter number 12, let me see if I've got it here for you on the screen. Revelation chapter 12, look at this, verse number 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, that's the Antichrist, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon, the Antichrist, was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So in the middle of the tribulation period, Michael the archangel and his angels fought against the dragon, the beast, and his angels. Michael overpowers him, whips him, and he's cast down to the earth. Remember, I told you, Antichrist is three different, the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon. You got the dragon fighting Michael up here. You got the beast down here on earth that enters from the bottomless pit, probably Judas Iscariot, and then that third person is probably some religious leader in the middle. All three of them, the dragon's going to come from heaven, the second heaven. You got the beast coming from the bottomless pit. Judas, when he died, went to his own place, ascended out of the bottomless pit. They're going to join in middle tribulation. They're going to join together and become the unholy Trinity. It appears that Michael is over the protector of the nation of Israel. Everywhere you see Michael the archangel, he's always protecting Israel. Watch what it says in Daniel 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, Daniel, your people, nation of Israel. We talked about this, not going to go into a long thing about it because we already talked about it in chapter 10. But in chapter 10, we saw where the king of Persia, all that kind of stuff, it appears that there is an angelic representation for nations. In other words, America has an angelic representation in heaven. That's not uncommon. Revelation to the angel of the church of Ephesus, to the angel of the church. It appears that churches have angelic representation. Where was it over in Matthew where we're talking about the little children? Their angel. It looks like the angels have, or excuse me, little children have an angelic representation in heaven. That's what it looks like. We dealt with that in chapter number 10. go back and look at all of those verses. So, if you remember in Jude, I'm just going to give you these verses. In Jude, about verse number 9, Jude only has one chapter, so it's verse number 9. Remember, Michael the archangel fights Satan over the body of Moses. Moses being a Jew. So it appears, you know, everybody's always wondered, who's going to sound the trumpet when the rapture takes place? Everybody says, well, it's going to be Gabriel. I've never seen that in the Bible. We just always said it was going to be Gabriel. Gabriel blow his horn. But it's probably, according to Daniel chapter 12, it's probably going to be Michael, the archangel, that blows the trumpet. You say, well, why? It's because when he blows that trumpet, it does a couple of different things. It calls the church out, and it lets Israel know the time of Jacob's trouble is coming. You'll see that in Daniel 12. Remember what it says? Michael, stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble. There it is, time of trouble. Such as never was since there was a nation. Matthew 24 talks about that. Over there in Matthew 24, let me look. I'm going to go over there and read it real quick. Matthew 24. Let me read it to you real quick and see that the terminology is the same. Matthew 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. Jesus talking to his disciples, saying, this time of trouble, never seen anything like this before. That's what Jesus was talking about. What Daniel said, same thing. Now, let's move on. The end of verse 1. And at that time thy people, nation of Israel, shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now, I don't have time to go into a lot of detail about this, but there is more than one book that God has. God has more than one book. You say, can you prove it? Yes. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books. Has that got an S on it? It's more than one. We're open. Books, plural, were open. And another book, singular, was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural, with an S, according to their works. Now, let me show you something that is very confusing to a lot of people. Over in Exodus chapter 32, y'all remember Moses pastored about 2 million people. And they were acting like a bunch of knuckleheads, you know. They were down there, and Moses goes up to get the Ten Commandments, and they done elected a new preacher, Aaron. They done built a golden calf. Everybody's tearing their clothes off. They're dancing to, you know, all this rap music. It's in there. You just got to read it. Moses says, yet now, if thou will forgive their sin, and if not, he's talking to God. Moses is talking to God. God, forgive them. If you won't, then blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Moses ain't telling you. They're the ones that messed up. Now, some people look at this and go, oh my goodness, if I sin, God's going to take me out of the book. Well, remember, there's more than one book. This book that Moses is talking about is the book where God writes down every Jewish person, every person that is a member of his chosen people. There's one book for the nation of Israel, and he writes their names down. If they mess up, God will blot their name out of the Jewish book, means their nationality. They don't get to inherit Jewish blessings in the kingdom. Now I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. Ezekiel, here it is. Ezekiel 13, verse 9. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, the assembly, the group of my people, Jews. Neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. Neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Y'all see that? There is a writing that has to do with just the nation of Israel, not you. So when you have to rightly divide. So when you look, Moses says, Lord, please don't blot my name out. Well, which book are you talking about? If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, these people that get saved in the church age, you get saved by God's marvelous grace. God writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life in red. That cannot be undone. Now, if you were Jewish living in the Old Testament and you messed up, then your name could be blotted out of that Jewish book that contains the, what does it say? Shall be written in the writing of the house of Israel. Neither shall thou enter into the land. I'm going to keep you from entering into the... You say, excuse me, I got this in my throat. It's a frog. One of them unclean frogs of Revelation 13. Let me explain it. Y'all remember, this is the best way that I can explain it that I know of. Do y'all remember when Moses wanted to quench the thirst of the nation of Israel? There was a rock. God says, take your rod, hit the side of it. And the side, water comes gushing out. Second time, God says, Moses, this time I want you to speak to it, and the water will come out. Well, Moses disobeyed God, y'all remember, and he took his rock and hit it. Disobeyed God. Did you know what that cost Moses? Moses is in heaven, right? But it cost him a free paid ticket to the promised land. Got his name. Neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. See the difference? Moses was saved as far as an Old Testament person could be saved. But disobedience to God, God says, Moses, and what he did, he took him up, what, on Mount Nebo and let Moses look over, but wouldn't let him go in. There is a difference. So, there are other books. When you see that, just be aware that is the case. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, let's go back to Daniel 12. Because a lot of people look at that and say, oh my goodness, the Lord's going to blot my name out. Here's one that's real tricky while you're back in Daniel 12. Are y'all okay now? Is everybody warm? Okay. I done worked myself up here. Okay. Before we go back to Daniel 12, here's one that's real tricky. It's found in Revelation 22. About verse 18 or 19, it says, if you add to the book, if you take away from the book, I will take your part out of the book of life. Well, people look at that and go, remember, every word is important. He said, if you add to, take away, I will remove, take your part. He didn't say name, he said part. You compare that to John 13. John 13, remember, Jesus wants to wash the disciples' feet in John 13. Peter says, not so, you ain't washing my feet, Lord, you ain't washing my feet. Jesus says, Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part with me. Was Peter saved? Sure, he was saved, as an Old Testament person could be saved. But Jesus says, Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you are not going to have any part, any inheritance. And then Peter says, Lord, wash me all up. Start at my head and wash me come all the way down. Jesus says, Peter, listen to me. This is all in the Greek. Peter, listen to me. You don't need to be washed all over. You are cleansed. Your feet's what's dirty. Your daily walk is what's dirty. I need to wash them. Or you won't have any inheritance with me. Part. See, every word's important. Because I've heard people read that and they remove and without even thinking, they say, Lord, take away from that book, the Lord's going to take your name out of the book of life. That ain't what it says. It says he's going to take your part out of. You won't get any inheritance. Okay, now let's back to where am I? Daniel 12. Look at verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, comma, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Y'all see that? All right. So, verse number 2, a multitude of information in verse 2. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. It looks like there's going to be a resurrection. Some to everlasting life, comma, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Okay, we've went over this before. We won't take time to go over a lot of this again. Do y'all remember when Jesus arose, Matthew 27, about verse 55, when Jesus arose and many of the bodies arose with him? Remember? Okay, here's what we call the rapture, where the church goes up. Remember I told you in the tribulation about middle ways. There's going to be a mid-tribulational rapture of tribulation saints. So there's 1, 2, 3. Three parts to the first resurrection. This is some to everlasting life. Here's everlasting life. Some to everlasting life. Some to shame and everlasting contempt at the end of kingdom. There's going to be people down here that's going to be resurrected and go before the great white throne judgment. If their name is not found written in the book of life, they're cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Revelation chapter 20, about verse 15. A lot of the Old Testament folks, Daniel, Lazarus' sisters in John chapter number 11, when Lazarus was, you know, Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, said, He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though we were dead, yet shall he live again. Martha, his sister, said, yeah, I know he'll raise up in the last days. There was a general consensus that there was one general judgment and everybody rose the same time. That's not true. Some raise here to everlasting life, and some are going to raise shame and everlasting contempt. See the difference? You just got to make sure you're on this one. Farmers will tell you there's three parts to a harvest. First fruits, harvest, gleanings, the leftovers. And that's what that is all about. But you'll see that comma there. There is 1,000 years between those comma, that comma. And that's not uncommon for God to do in the Bible. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born. That's the birth. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. There's 33 years right there. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. There's 2,000, 7 years. That's 2,000 years between that comma. You see that? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Well, that one verse has two commas separated by a bunch of years. Same way in chapter 12, verse 2. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Okay, verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So here's a promise. Verse 3 is a promise to anybody in the tribulation. Chapter 12 deals with the tribulation. Anybody in the tribulation that that turns people to righteousness, there is a special blessing. You will shine like the, whatever it says, shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. There are, now, if that's true, and it is for the tribulation, then wouldn't that be true? Look, shouldn't we be turning people to righteousness in this age? Trying to get people to turn to righteousness here too as well? I know Daniel 12 is talking about over here. But if the tribulation people need to turn people to righteousness, we do too. And that's verse 3. Now look at verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall... Now let me pause. Let me divide this verse into two. O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Okay? Let me read you Revelation 22, verse 10. Did I put it on the thing? No, I didn't. Revelation 22, verse 10. Let me read this verse to you. John, Daniel, God says, seal it up. Seal it up. And all of that. Revelation 22, verse 10. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. You see the difference? He told Daniel, seal it up. Seal it up. Until when? The time of the end. So when Daniel's writing over here in Revelation 22, he says, seal it up, seal it not. Open it up. You see. Now, let's look at the second part of verse 4. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. What are we talking about? The time of the end. The time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. I remember this like it was yesterday. It was just like a common saying that my dad would say. We'd drive down the road, we'd be together, and somebody would be running, jogging, running down the side of the road. My dad would say, well, the Lord's coming. I said, what? He said, the Bible says in the last days they'll be running to and fro. There they go. Said it all the time. And I said, where does it say that at? You know, and I was like, Daniel 12, that's what it says. In the end day, they'll be running to and fro. You know. Now, in all actuality, I'm sure it's not talking about running to and fro and people jogging down the highway. But would y'all not agree we're living in a day where people just go to the airport and sit in the lobby and watch? It's just like people pulling their bags and trying to get on this plane and What is it, those of you that fly more than I do, what is it? Every 5 minutes, a plane's leaving out, and the next one's coming in behind. They're going everywhere. Huh? There's a lot of difference than today than Little House on the Prairie. Would y'all not agree? In a horse and buggy, when it took 3 days to get to the grocery store, would y'all not agree we're living in a day where we're running to and fro? Even us Christians, we just busy. Busy, 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 busy. Running here, there. They got to do this, got to do that. I'm the same way. Not, watch this. Not only running to and fro, knowledge shall be increased. Do you realize how much knowledge from, or let's just think for a second. From the time of Adam and Eve, all the way, this is 4,000 years here, from Jesus all the way back to Adam, 4,000 years. This church age, we're in 2021 now, so there's 2,021 years, so that's over 6,000 years right there. And the knowledge, just in this chart that I found, is in the 19th century, the 2000. Think about it. Satellites, cell phones, GPS, wireless internet, computers, the nuclear capabilities that we have now. Do you realize that people can communicate with satellites way out there? They can find out where you are in your car. They have those built-in things to where used to be it was called OnStar. And you would push the little button there, especially if you got into a wreck or something. And if your airbags deployed, anybody remember that? Yeah, your airbags deployed, a voice comes in on your vehicle and says, so-and-so, are you okay? I noticed your airbags deployed. Well, how do they know that? Technology, the knowledge has increased. Would y'all not agree with that? People say, how do you know you're living in the last days? Well, just look around. I think I said this last week, but I mean, think about our grandparents. And you would have told them that we have phones that can access the internet. They would be like, what's the internet? You have to ask Al Gore, you know. But think about this. Did y'all realize this? This is coming, and it's coming very quickly. I looked this up today, and these are being tested right now to be explored in the next few years. Wouldn't that be something? Get in your car, instead of driving down the road, just go up in the air. How many of y'all remember watching when you was growing up? What was it, the Jetsons? And we would watch that and go, that's silly. I mean, it's fun to watch, but it's silly. You know, just getting a little thing and it just makes the noise. You know. And we're sitting here today going, that is a possibility. Daniel 12, knowledge shall increase. Isn't that something? Now we're looking at 5G. We're looking at, I saw just the other day where, you know how some of you have these vehicles. Mine's not like that. Now, Whitney's car is like that. If you just have the key in your pocket, you just walk up to the door and touch the handle, and that thing unlocks. It detects that key if it's close in proximity. You just touch the handle, it unlocks, and you get in and all that. You ain't got it, no key. You just get in, and if you got it in your pocket, you push the button, starts. I saw where the guy, whatever technology is in that key that's in your pocket, he had it inserted in his wrist. So now there's no possibility of losing your key. You just walk up to the car door, and that thing's in your wrist. You walk up to, how many of y'all have to log into your computer? And up there, we got an Apple computer up there, and you have to log into it. There's a password you have to log into it. Well, if you had that, you just, as soon as you get up on the keyboard and that thing detects, no login. They know it's you. You imagine that? The technology that has taken us, man, knowledge shall increase. Daniel wrote about that. 500 years before Christ showed up, and that stuff is relevant for today. Now, all right, let's look at verse 5. Verse 5, then I, Daniel, looked, And behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen. Now, that is a direct quote from chapter 10. The man clothed in linen, that's verse 5, 10:5. Daniel says, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz and all of that. That's in verse 5 of chapter 10. So that's how I know that chapter 12 is a continuation. So he says, there was a fellow clothed in fine linen, one on the right side of the river, one on the other side of the river, this, that, and the other, which was upon the waters of the river. How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Verse 6 says. Now, let me look at Revelation 10. All of this coincides with Revelation. It's an amazing thing. Revelation 10, verse 1. Ready? And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, rainbow around his head, and his face was as the sun, his feet as pillars of fire. He had in his hand a little book, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. Man, that Daniel's talking about it in Daniel 12. Perfect. All the way down to verse number 6. He talks about this same verse 5 of Revelation 10. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hands to heaven. Watch this. Look at Daniel 12. Verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven. We just read that in Revelation 10. And swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be, watch, for a time, times, and a half. A time is one. Times with a S is more than one. And a half. So that's what? Does everybody see that? Time, times, and a half. Three and a half. Dealing with this time frame right here. This right here is three and a half. This is three and a half. All of it is 7 years. First three and a half, peace and safety. The last three and a half, sudden destruction. It's what it's talking about. Time, times, and a half. That's what verse 7 was talking about there. And you'll find that again. I know you don't want to turn back and forth, but I will do it for you. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Watch this. Revelation 12, 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and so on and so forth, prevailed. I'm looking for the time. Where'd it go? I wrote that down somewhere. 12:7. Where is that at? Time, times. It says it again in Revelation 12, I thought. All right. Maybe, I know it's there, I just don't know where. Somewhere there in Revelation 12, it says the same wording, times, time, times, and a half. Anyway, all right, look at verse 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Daniel, now look, Daniel is writing all of these verses all the way down to verse 7, talking about a time, times, and a half. Daniel's like, I heard what he said. I just didn't understand. And then he asked the Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Verse 9, he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Daniel, you just write it down, seal it up. There will be coming a time when we'll be able to open it up. When John writes about all of this right here, he will be able to unseal it. You seal it up, and it'll become more, there'll be a lot of light on this will shine forth. Verse number 10, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So you've got in the tribulation, many are going to be purified, made white, tried. In other words, won't accept the mark of the beast. They won't fall for the Antichrist's devices and all of that kind of thing. They're going to be purified, made white, tried. Tried is another word for tribulation. Verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate, remember we've already talked about that, Matthew 24 and about verse 15 talks about that. When you see the abomination of desolation, run for the hills and all that kind of stuff. All right, verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, let me give you something. Let me give you something that I don't understand. Ain't that something? I don't have a clue. This is what I know from Revelation. Book of Revelation says 3.5 years is 1,260 days. That's what Revelation says. Says it many places. Revelation 11 talks about the two witnesses are going to prophesy for 1,260 days. I know that. Daniel says 1,290. Oh, either Daniel is wrong or John is wrong in Revelation. Somebody's wrong. We need to go down to the bookstore and get us a new Bible. Somebody, I've got a mistake in my Bible. Somebody don't know math. Somebody don't know how to count. Now, remember this. Anytime you have something like this that shows up in your Bible, God does it on purpose to see if you will trust him and know that there is an answer. Or if you will question the Bible and say, I don't know if that's true or not. That looks like a mistake to me. God does that on purpose to see who the Bible believers are and who the Bible correctors are. Now, you say, all right, you got what, 30 days that are difference, the 30-day difference there? Okay. There's 30 days that we got to make up right here. Now, let's just say this. Let me do this real quick before we go. I'm done with Daniel anyway. We're going to do away with that foot. Okay. Might as well do away with that one. That's going to drive me nuts. If you get run a one-legged image, that's going to be awful. All right. Let's just say the tribulation, we know the tribulation is how long? 7 years. But there's nowhere in the Bible that says as soon as the rapture takes place, the tribulation starts. Nowhere. There's nowhere in the Bible that says as soon as the 7 year is up, the Lord comes. So obviously, there's 30 extra days after the tribulation that Daniel saw before. In other words, the tribulation is done here. There's your 7 years. And then 30 days later, the second coming happens. Nowhere in the matter of fact, if the trumpet was to sound right now, I don't know that the rapture or the tribulation would start. The tribulation may start 30 days later. There's nothing in the Bible that says it's going to just start off immediately. Does that make sense? So there's extra days there that Daniel saw in his vision. Now, you say, well, that don't match. Yes, it does. Revelation says that last 3.5 is 1260. That's true. Daniel just says, I saw 30 more days before the end. You say. Now, you say, do you know that for sure? I don't. And this is why, this is where I'm going to close at. This is how I know. What did God tell Daniel? Daniel, seal it up. You don't understand, do you? Daniel says, I don't understand. He said, don't worry about it. You're 90-something years old anyway. You'll see it later. Daniel, go home, take two baby aspirins. Don't worry about it. There's a long time before you got to worry about this. You just write what I told you down. Daniel said, I don't understand. Now, in the church age, in the church age, we look back and we say, I understand a little of that. Because I know some, I have more revelation than Daniel had. More light. I've got all 66 books here that Daniel didn't have. Now watch. There are some things in that Bible that people in the church age are not going to be able to figure out. But people in the tribulation will. Because it's going to make more sense to them. Does that make sense? We're going to look at this and go, 1290, 1260, I don't know. I mean, who cares? I'm leaving out here anyway. I don't care if it's 1260 or 1290. But when you get in the tribulation, somebody in the tribulation goes, ah, that's how that's going to plan out. It's going to take somebody in the tribulation to figure some of the stuff out. Does that make sense? I'll give you, for instance, I know some of you are scratching your head going, that don't make sense. If you were to tell Daniel, there's coming a day, Jesus is going to die on the cross for a bunch of Gentile people. Your people, the nation of Israel, are going to reject him. They're going to crucify him. And it's going to bring in a Gentile bride for the Lord. Daniel's going to say, what? What have you been smoking? But us in the church age are going, that's how it happened, right? We know more than Daniel. Daniel wouldn't have understood it. So when you start looking in the future and talk about stuff that hadn't happened yet, it's going to take somebody here that's going to open up Daniel 12, Revelation, whatever, and go, this is what that was talking about. Anyway, all right. What did I miss? All right, we're going to 12. All right, hang on. Lord, I thought I was done. Where'd we go? Verse 11. And from the time of the daily sacrifice. Okay, we read that one. Verse 12. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. So that's 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be. For thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot. In other words, your lot would be, for a Jew, your lot would be your inheritance. In other words, that is your lot that is given to you. Think about it like your lot, where your house sits. That's your lot. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest, and stand in thy lot at the end of days. And now, I know probably what some of you are looking. You're going, 1,335 days. My goodness, now we done added 75 more days to this. Now, I'll explain it. I think this one says what, 1,335? You got 1,335, 1,290, 1,260 in Revelation. Now, what happens? Without going into a long deal, you compare this with Daniel 10. What Daniel 10 tells you, I forgot the wording that he uses. Let me see if I can find it really quick. I mean, I can put my finger on it really quick. Anyway, in Daniel 10, it talks about certain days like this. But what it does, it goes, in one place, Daniel would say, okay, from the time of rebuilding the temple until the abomination of desolation, whatever, is 1335. Well, you have to, that's not going to be the same as 1360. Does that make sense? Because Daniel's including from the time of the rebuilding of the temple. So that's your extra 75 days. And then in another place, he says 1290 days is from the whatever to the, you know. It's the best I can do with it. The rest of it, I have to do like Daniel and say, I heard it. I read it. I just don't understand it. But that's pretty close as far as, because each time he gives a different number, he gives you a different starting point. You know, from, anyway, without looking at all of them, he gives you a different start. Well, if you got a different starting point, obviously all the numbers don't go match. But I guarantee, I know this for a fact, that whole thing is 7 years. Now, where he gets the 1335 and the 1290 and the 12, I know 1260 is 3.5. I know that's the last half. You got 1260 here, 1260 here. But now, I know you got 1260 here. But then he says, okay, from the time that so-and-so built something, whatever, you might move back here and say, okay, that is 1290. Does that make sense? So you have to say where Daniel is talking about, you know, and then 1335, he may start back here and go, from there to here is 1335. Anyway, best I can do with it.